I was mowing the lawn when it happened. It started as a strange feeling and the thought of a little boy that I had visited in the hospital the day before. It's blessedly unusual for me to be called to a pediatric unit. Sam was 3 years old, but looked small for his age. He had been seriously ill, but was starting to get better. His mother asked me to visit. I met them in a big hospital room with four cribs. I talked with Sam for a while. He was adorably sleepy, hanging on to his teddy bear. I talked with his mother, and then I gently laid my hand on the top of Sam's head, and we prayed for him, his family, and his whole medical team. It was Friday, so I said that I would check in with them again on Monday. While mowing the lawn the next day, it wasn't just a thought of Sam that got my attention. I had feelings that were hard to describe. I actually left the lawn half mowed and went into the house, sat down and closed my eyes to think or meditate, pray or rest. I wasn't sure of my intentions. I'm not even sure it was my intentions that were guiding me at that moment. I was flooded with the image and the feeling of Sam's room. There were four huge angels, like 14 feet tall angels, standing in each corner of the room. They were not gauzy, ethereal angels. I had an overwhelming sense of their groundedness and their power. They didn't move. They just stood in the four corners of that hospital room. Now, I do not believe in angels. I thought of calling the hospital, but I wanted neither to deny nor substantiate the experience that I was having. On Monday morning, I went to check on Sam. I was sad, but not really surprised to find that he had died the afternoon that I was mowing the lawn. It feels a bit risky to tell this story, but I know that I'm not alone in having a transcendent experience. I remembered this experience a few weeks ago when a member of First Parish told me of their own mystic experience. This time of year, there are thin places between the worlds of the living and dead, even if simply in our own memory. These experiences happen to so many of us that we know them to be part of human nature. But what are they really? It's a question worth asking, but I do not know the answer. And perhaps that's what stops us from sharing these experiences. They're hard to convey, and we don't want to be ridiculed. Even I needed Albert Einstein's endorsement of the mysterious before telling this story. We Unitarian Universalists have been skeptics throughout history, and never more so than when it comes to beliefs about death and an afterlife. But we have not so much discarded these beliefs as reshaped them over time. I'm wondering if you use are at another pivot point in embracing experience over belief. There's a new emphasis on direct personal experience, though we are not throwing out reason. It's not an either-or thing, is it? Experience is just another way of knowing. Contemporary UU views about life and death are informed by both science and spiritual traditions. Many of us live with the assumption that life does not continue after death, and many of us hold it as an open question. Our beliefs may vary, but we are united by our mortality. Buddhist chaplain Robert Campbell wrote, "If you have ever been in the room at the moment of someone's death, you have probably experienced the shift in energy that occurs and sometimes remains for a time afterwards. Within the silence that follows the final breath of a dying person is the certainty that something is occurring. At that moment, one senses the connectedness of everything." I've been with many people as they have died, and I share Campbell's experience. Perhaps you do too. It's said that those who are dying, those who have just died, are in a liminal space between the worlds of life and death. But when someone who we are connected with dies, often we, the bereaved, are also in a liminal space. Our beliefs about death and an afterlife are sometimes in conflict with a transcendent experience following the death of one that we are connected with. I don't think the most important question is which is real, but rather how do we integrate these experiences? What do we do when our experience clashes with our own beliefs? Do we negate our experience because we are searching for solid ground beneath our feet? Or are we able to stand in the loss and the mystery? My experience of Sam's death taught me that a transcendent experience can arise in the midst of the mundane. We can connect with one another across space. Frankly, I still don't know what to make of the angels. But from what I felt, their presence meant witness, protection, and that no matter what happened, even if Sam died, he was going to be okay. Maybe they were angels or represented Sam's family, or the doctors and nurses who cared for him. Mostly this experience reminded me to stay open to the mystery. As we let go of the illusion of control, we find ourselves more comfortable with ambiguity. If life is a gift, rather than a puzzle to be solved or a problem to be managed, then a lot of things that used to matter cease to be as important. And perhaps this is a way we connect with the stream of all souls, present, past, and future. In relationship, our community and one another recreate and recreate and recreate each other. As author Julian Barnes writes, when you put two or more people together, something new is made, and the world is changed. Then, at some point, sooner or later, one of them is taken away. And what is taken away is greater than the sum of what was. This may not be mathematically possible, but it is emotionally possible. Death is unmapped territory, a place our minds can't fully comprehend. Perhaps we are being called to hold the tension between loss and mystery, and being summoned to a new spiritual depth. May it be so.